Okay, it is 9 a.m. on February 27th, 2020, and we're in the BCC conference room. One commissioner missing. Commissioner Morgan is off in Washington, D.C., lobbying for our county and our surrounding counties. So we had scheduled a fire protection committee presentation as item one. That was pulled from the agenda, and they're still discussing what they want to present to us. So we move on to item two, which is department business.
If I could skip ahead a little bit. Going down to item 5A, which is order number 2020-018 in matter of adoption of bylaws for Josephson County Fair Board.
Yeah.
I'd like to pull that. Tamara and I met yesterday, and that's not ready.
Yeah. Not ready. Well,
is that okay
I think
with you?
That's our prerogative.
We're going to discuss.
You want to discuss it?
They'll discuss the changes that you guys would like to see.
I'll leave it on.
Excuse me. No problem. Don't do anything. I'm all over it.
She's the boss. She's the boss. Her sidekick there.
Right. The information stream. All right, back to 2A then. Community development. Mr. Stevenson, you want to talk about Josephine County in conjunction with DEQ? And proposing to assume all the permitting and inspection services within Josephine County for on-site septic systems. Sir.
Thank you. Like you said, Mark Stevenson, Community Development Director. So we were approached by Department of Environmental Quality to assume their on-site septic program. We've had quite a few discussions with them thus far, and we've also brought Curry County into the equation. Curry County's permitting for DEQ septic isn't enough to have a full-time person over there. So we have talked about merging our services where we would do the inspections for Curry County. Curry County would collect the dollars and cents, issue the permits, do the paperwork at a 20% cost to 20% reduction of those fees, and the balance of those fees would come over to Josephine County to help with the inspection services.
How many permit applications did they crank out over there? I mean, you're not going to send somebody over there twice a week, are you?
No, it would be at the very most, it'd be once a week, but chances are it's going to be every 2 weeks we'd be over there for maybe possibly 2 days. Field inspections were only like 54 in a year, compared to Josephine County be 269 field inspections. There's approximately 500 permits in Josephine County that we would issue. And those dollars, so the average fees over the last 3 years collected, Josephine County was $233,000 and Curry County was $47,500. So the Josephine County on-site septic program, I estimate the budget first year we'd be somewhere around $271,000 to run the program, which is doable. We would locate the office for on-site septic in the new code enforcement office that we're creating right now. So the hours would be 8 to 12, 1 to 3. That would be in Suite B in the community development building. We would have a environmental specialist 3, which hopefully in advertising we can get a fully vetted, skilled septic guy. There's questions whether we can, but the training, DEQ will provide the training, and they'll give us up to 2 years to train our staff to take over the whole thing.
Is there any collateral training that, like, say, you'll need to go through? So
I intend to go through some of that training so I know exactly what I'm looking at, but also my building inspectors are interested in cross-training into this.
It'd be nice if out in the field a question popped up, they'd be able to at least, yes, I know about that, or a little over my pay grade, I need to go to the other and get somebody
else. Or if they're
else
looking at a development in Williams, the one inspector could look at it. And do the building, do the septic,
And trying to do that cross training since I have five guys in the field every day,
right? And weren't you and I discussing that Our load is at Josephine County is like 1.5 persons, and that helps with Curry coming on with a half person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that really helps us both out, and it'll help the service in Curry County because they were stuck with the 4 to 6 weeks.
You know, even so, the way it's set up right now, DEQ covers out of Jackson County. They cover Josephine, Curry, and Coos County, and they're putting on their own person in Coos County. Coos County does not want to partner with Curry or us for whatever reason.
They're a long ways away.
Yeah.
Jackson, right now DEQ doesn't want to give up Jackson County because it does make them enough money that they cover other counties in Eastern Oregon, so they need that funding, that revenue stream. But they're thrilled about us taking over the program here. Right now, they're 4 to 6 weeks out in almost every inspection. My intent is to be within 5 days, we'll be doing that inspection in our county. Based on 269 inspections, if I have two field guys, we can do that.
Yeah, it sounds like a really good transition. And we're one of the last counties, right? There's only...
Yeah,
there's
only
left.
Like a total of 8, and now we're down to 6, or yeah.
Yeah, it's getting down
4.
There.
So most counties in the state do their own on-site septic. Yeah. Now it's, you know, it's overseen through the Department of Environmental Quality, so, you know, we'll be following their statutes and all our inspections and what have you. The nice thing is that they're willing to fully train anybody we get involved in this here in the county, and that includes on-site here from Medford inspectors coming over here and working with us to state inspectors coming down and working with us, or us actually going north, and they are covering all the costs on that also.
When we send our guy over to Curry County, you go all the way to Gold Beach. If it's inspected
further.
Yeah, Port
yeah,
Over.
All the way up to Port Over. But I mean, is that where you check in over there?
We would go to Gold Beach.
So, I mean, you're talking 2.5 hours to Gold Beach.
Yeah, what we would do is we'd receive the inspection request from Curry County. And as our inspector goes north through Brookings, he's going to stop at whatever inspections need to be done on his way up to Gold Beach office, and then he'll go.
Are you going to have him stay overnight up there somewhere if he's going to stay 2 days? You're not going to drive all the way back here and then drive back the next morning.
Depends on the inspections. If it's one inspection, you probably go over for the day, do the inspection, and come back. If there's more than
if there's three,
you know, every road in Curry County dead ends, so it's a matter of turning around and coming back. So it does take some time to get the inspections done there. So it just depends on how many.
Okay.
You know, I find basically with the numbers that the state shows me that we're doing, we can do this program. Now I'm working on the fee schedule. The state said that we can modify the fees as we see fit prior to our adoption. So they give us a basic fee schedule, and we can look at those fees and determine if there's, you know, not enough there to get over in the Curry County or what have you.
Okay.
So right now I'm working on those. The second page of this is the order from Curry County. So the Curry County Board of Commissioners have signed on to this program, and I gave you a copy of that. That was yesterday.
So is that going to take an IGA?
So it'll take an IGA between counties. It'll take a MOA between DEQ, DEQ Curry and Josephine County.
And so you're going to go forward,
and obviously an order from the board,
right?
You know.
So you're asking us if we're ready to move forward with the idea, and then you'll back it up with paper.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well then, so there'll be one more presentation of those documents, and then we'll move it forward.
Yeah, and right now legal has those, and we'll be putting those together. It's possible there's two more because the state will put the MOA together, and then have each of us take that and have presented to our boards.
So. Okay. Okay. Well, it sure seems like a good idea, and it won't cost us anything.
We used to do that years ago here.
Yes.
We used to have a full-blown...
Mm-hmm. The history.
Septic program here.
Yeah. No, this seems like a really good thing for our customers.
I think it's great. Great customer service. I think people will be very happy. 4 to 6 weeks to poke a head into a septic tank is frustrating for a lot of
you
people.
You could not get me to poke a head in a septic tank
it's
in
a brand
four
new
to
one.
Six
Came
years.
Off the truck.
Not four to 6 weeks.
No, and it ties us together with Curry County. I really like that relationship growing.
Works very well.
We can help each other.
We've done it on the building safety side with my intern becoming their building official over there, and that's working out really well, and us assisting them in services, and they're off to a running start. The department is solid now. So.
Okay.
Sounds really good.
Thank you very much.
I say we go forward.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Has anybody found Jim yet?
We're Jim.
We're Jim.
No, I'm sorry.
You look like you might be related.
Jamie. We're going to call you Jamie
related.
Today.
Please come on up. Item 2B is juvenile justice, VOCA CFA, which I'll have to have you explain, 2019 Josephine CAC 00033. Welcome.
Good morning. So the VOCA grant is the Victims of Crime Act money that comes down from the Department of Justice. And that money is, it's a biennium grant, it's $242,000 for that biennium. And it pays for, it currently pays for three-quarter time of our forensic interviewer, 25% of my time, and what we're asking for is a half-time family support position, which is also a victim's advocate position. And that person will be coordinating all the services to victims and their families when they first enter the CAC.
Is that tied in, is that encompassed in the 242?
Yes. It is.
So it covered by the 242?
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And 242 is a significant increase from what we were granted.
It's almost 243. 242 and three quarters.
Three quarters. Yeah. Do you remember what it was last biennium?
It was 57,000. When we first got it, it was 57,000, and then it went up to 121 a year.
Yeah.
So, big difference.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and so this is new pass-through funding.
It is.
It's going to fund this new
position, half-time position.
Half-time, okay.
Yes. Okay. And what's different about this is because it would increase so much, we've actually taken a 0.25 FTE for Tina's salary out of it, which we were not doing in the past. So you might ask why we're not doing 1.0 forensic interviewer and leaving Tina's salary out of it. But the Justice Department told us that if we did that, then the forensic interviewer could only work as a forensic interviewer at the Children's Advocacy Center, and we thought maybe we would leave a 0.25 open for her to go out and do some stuff in the community or other things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're staying with 0.75 for her and adding the 0.25 for Tina.
So. Okay.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yep.
I can't imagine the drawback.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's all good.
Yes.
Good. Yep.
I think we needed the job description approved as well.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and that just came in, right? Position description.
Did you write the job description?
You've given me way too much credit.
Well, you guys have had a chance to look it over.
Well, Tina and Jim actually put it together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Well,
I think it's okay.
Yeah, why? Why not? That sounds like a really good deal.
All the faith in the staff got this right.
Yes, thank you.
So, do we need a motion to approve?
I make the motion to approve both the position, job description, and the acceptance of the grant, I think, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Acceptance of the grant for the biennium at $242,748 revenue to the county in the biennium.
I'll second that. Any other discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor, say
aye.
Ayes have it.
Thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Good job on your program over here, by the way.
Thank you.
Very needed.
Okay. Item 3 is a financial report and business update. Let me guess. Yeah, you are in the building. Let's move on to 5 and we'll come back.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys come out? Ladies first, look at that.
A gentleman.
He's still writing his financial report, don't give him too much credit.
He didn't quite finish.
He's finishing his homework, yes.
I just noticed he's
getting
ready to
retire. Question 9 through 14 yet to answer, so I'm just letting him do his homework.
So the Fair Board had put together a bylaws, and it actually started back in 2017. It actually got voted on and asked to bring to the board. What I'd like to do is open up a little bit of a discussion, because I know it's not in the legal formats and things that need to happen, but I think it would be great if the two boards agreed on, you know, everything working, and then we can send it to legal and get everything the way it needs to look, and we'll go back and forth. So it's not ready to be adopted yet,
right?
But I definitely think that, you know, it's ready to be discussed.
It's draft enough.
It's only a two-page.
Have you seen it?
No, I have. I saw it briefly.
Okay.
It's sitting on my desk.
She's
going
to get that for us. We've got them. Both of us have it.
Okay.
She'll bring us 2.
Right. Oh, okay.
Fresh copies.
Yeah.
And so, are there concerns in it that you have still?
I think that there are a couple of areas that need to be re-looked at. You'll look on Article 2. There's some confusion in this particular article. And so, because I wasn't necessarily here, well, I lived, but
right.
I wasn't a part of the fair yet when this was drafted. I'm not sure what the true intention of the Fair Board was at the time. Hopefully Linda can kind of help us out. But this county resolution number doesn't apply to anything, so I don't know.
I mean, my memory on this was because, Peggy was the manager then, was that we were wanted to have 3 years. I mean, that was our intention.
Three terms.
Right?
3 terms of 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that way that one reads as it's...
I know. I read it and it kind of confused me because...
Oh, it confused
me. It confused all of us.
It says it two different ways.
If the Fair Board wants 3 3-year consecutive terms, can you have 2 years, skip a term, and then come back and say, I want to do another one for a total of 9?
I can't see why not.
I think it just needs to be clarified in there that could happen, and that it could be, but not to exceed 9. Because you may have somebody that, you know, I need to take a little time off, and then they say, I'm still excited about the Fair Board.
Right.
I want to come back and do it again for 3 more years. And that shouldn't be... We shouldn't be in their way of doing that at all.
I'm circling yours.
Oh, you can have that.
I think what it was is that we realized having, you know, it was my second term, you know, that we never thought we were going to do more than 2 because who in their right mind would do more than 2, right? you know, but we realized that we were at the point where we needed to be part of the third piece because we were the driver of it,
right?
You know, so that was really kind of where we were coming from.
So I think Article 2 on the membership, we just cleaned that up.
Mm-hmm.
And just if your wish is for 3 terms, it says it goes back, and there's another document that goes back, I think when Commissioner Hare was here, and they back and forth and back and forth. It's a pretty long-winded, and I didn't get all the way through that document, but I did go through this one, and I like I said, that was one of the questions that popped out. I also, on the purpose, I think we're going to leave the language for the purpose on there. Because you are a board and legal, I would like legals. I'm not exactly what you're different than an advisory committee.
We're totally different.
Entirely different. Mm-hmm. And it says here, and I'll read, the Fair Board shall make and enforce all rules and regulations necessary for the proper conduct and management of all activities conducted on the fairgrounds, including the annual fair. And at what point in time, the Board of County Commissioners, you still have a step up. But I think because you are the Fair Board, you can take that one on. And for instance, if you need to enforce a rule and a regulation, or you see a rule and regulation necessary for the operate proper conduct and management of all activities, coming, running it through the whole process to us and then us back down, the problem's already manifested, or it's beyond your control. So I think I just want to make sure that you're within your bounds to be able to do that, and I'm all for it. Sounds, I think to one of the commissioners, it's going to be, we are in charge of all rules and regulations in the entire county. But you being your own board, there's some difference there, and I don't know what that difference is.
Well, I know that that it comes from the governor, you know, so I mean, there is some reference. We should probably be making a reference in there, maybe, you know, as far as
is there like an ORS that governs some of this?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah?
Okay, yeah, that, if we could make that.
Because that's why we aren't like anything like an advisory, because we, in theory, report to, you know, to the
I think
as well
I think some clarification in the purpose.
Okay.
Some references would be helpful, mm-hmm. in case, you know, you go in there and say, nope, right there. And if you get like somebody you challenges you out at the fair board, yeah. you can say, no, these are the regs you need to look up.
Yeah.
We're there. I think that would make that a little easier to follow.
The other element that I'll add just into that is, even when we are working on our policies for the fairgrounds or for the fair, I'm still running them through legal.
Oh yeah.
It's not just being adopted and
right.
you know, it's like right. sending it through, making sure it's
right.
within, you know, proper.
Right.
So.
Well, it looks like on the second page, Article 4, authority, there is some reference to the Oregon Revised Statutes.
Oh, thank you very much.
That may be the ones that you're referencing. Mm-hmm. And so it may already be baked in there.
Right.
But it seems like you could really simplify the membership one just by stopping after that, the first two sentences where it says you can have 3 terms and a maximum of 9 years.
Yeah, I think that whole
forget all the rest of that extra.
The whole paragraph could be somewhat.
It's
your
shorter.
Yeah. It just, I thought, well, you can have, I guess, 2 3-year terms, but then at the end of any 3-year term, you have to go and ask if you can have another 3-year term for a total of 9. And I say also, I would clarify not that it's not consecutive, that you could skip a thing and come back.
All right. Well, because there's no rule on that you could step out and come back. I mean, that's not a problem,
yeah.
is it? Unless you let one bad term.
I would hate to see you have a really hard, a really high energy person that for some reason had to just not seek a third term.
No, and we have a couple that I would love for them if they came back, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think even if it's like something medically, you need to take a break, or you know, that it shouldn't be held against you. I agree.
It should. And you still have that fire in the belly for the fairgrounds, then you should be able to come back. But I think you need to do that, or somebody can say, well, no, consecutive term. Yeah, sorry. You backed out, you're done. You're one and done. So
yeah.
Language in there, that would be helpful.
And so going on to the fourth page, there's the internal structure at the bottom there, the highlight,
mm-hmm.
on mine anyway, that the manager serves at the pleasure of the fair board. Do you want to change something in that?
Well, I think that there's the way that I read it, I thought would probably cause concern is ultimately I'm a county employee. And
right.
while, you know, if the fair board decides that they want to get rid of me, that's, you know, they would still have to go through
yeah.
the process.
They'd have to
process.
Make a
recommendation
yeah.
to the board.
So just,
you know.
Because we're the
so,
hire and fire.
Exactly. So I just
that's
think there
thought.
Has to be
yeah.
kind of explained a little bit.
The procedure.
Yeah, the procedure of what that would be.
Okay.
I think when I first read this, what I thought was I know that at the time there had been a lot of consideration of splitting
yeah.
the position into
yeah.
two and having a fair manager, which would be only there
right.
to
seasonal.
Operate the fair,
right.
seasonal,
right.
and then the fairgrounds, you
the
know, director
day-to-day
that would do the day-to-day operation. So
all year round.
Right, so I kind of
yeah.
wasn't sure when I first read this if that was
well,
what this was alluding to.
I think it was. I mean, it was just an awkward time for us. I mean, meaning that we were kind of doing this, but having this to decide
right.
and this to decide. So
is there something you would like to change about that paragraph?
I'd like to put it, have it a little bit more recommending, you know, that the fair board would recommend to the county commissioners, you know.
Right, they're not the hire and fire change.
We're not the hire and fire, but, I mean.
And recommend compensation adjustments. Well, that doesn't sound too hard to clean up, though.
And I don't disagree with the fairgrounds manager shall serve. Another one, and another one I had in there is we, a couple, 3 or 4 years ago, we elevated manager to
director.
Mm-hmm. But I mentioned something like that, and somebody said, well, no, it's manager and all the state stuff. When the state stuff comes down, they still call it a manager.
Okay.
That's what the answer I got.
So lining up
sure
with that.
How that
makes sense.
Pans out, I'd like to do some follow up on that to see if that's actually true or if that's just a statement. Because we changed to director, and we could certainly change it in this thing to director. Mm-hmm. But if the fair, if the statutes that we're quoting at the state say it's manager, we got to stay with manager. Because mm-hmm. then, because if it's fair, well, we don't have what fair director does, because that's not in our verbiage here. So if we can look that up, the legal, what the legal terminology is, I think that'd be great. But I don't have a problem with fair board shall. The fairground manager shall serve the pleasure of the fair board because you are your own entity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Okay. And then on the last page, there's a internal services that's highlighted. Is there a policy and procedure manual?
At this point, we pay our dues to the county to participate in all of the different internal services.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I'm going to assume that's what this is referring to. So I don't know if initially there was conversation at that time frame about doing it separate, but that's what we are currently doing.
You pay into the ISF.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all available to you.
Correct.
You're in that pool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ISF is.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not arguing that point. You're just wanting to clarify.
No, that it was highlighted when it was given to me.
Ah, gotcha.
So I didn't highlight it.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
I don't know.
Who has access?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know who highlighted it.
It should have gone forward, but obviously it's set somewhere. So.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know that. So.
Well, so yeah, let's take that date out of it, the 16 date, and make it all current.
Okay.
Make it readable.
All right. All right, so if we just make those adjustments, and then I'll just go ahead. At that point, do you want me to forward it then to legal?
Legal,
I think, mm-hmm. send it to legal that we collaboratively or whatever you kind of coordinate,
then
whatever that.
You guys could look at it real quick as a board after legal makes any adjustments and go, yep, good, we recommend it.
And make those changes, and then
okay.
I think we'll get that put down. Are you okay with meetings once a month? Did you need to change that at this time? Because we just changed airport, decided that once a month was a little too often.
Okay.
I would encourage once a month at the fair because there's a lot more going on
we
there.
We do once a month. I mean, we're fine with that. The only month we've sometimes not had one was December. If we were done with our really business for that year.
Right.
So you could always vote to take one month off.
But we did at the airport, one of them wanted to have every other month and the other one wanted every 3 months. So to make both sets of bylaws consistent, we said you will meet at least 4 times a year.
Oh.
And then they could adjust their schedule. They go every other month,
or
they can go every 3 months,
right.
And you're still sticking with bylaws for both of them.
I mean, I think for our fair board, because we're a working board.
I think I would, you know, I'd say this is the time to bring it up. As a reason, if there's any angst out there, wow, we're meeting way too much.
Oh no,
we don't. But I see your meetings as a full agenda at every meeting.
Well, because when we get to our meetings, we've actually had many meetings on workshops and things on tasking. So we're really coming together.
Correct.
Getting it passed and going to the next.
But if I was going to your meetings and getting out of there, meeting starts at 6 and we're done at 6:15, I would say you can spread that out. But your meetings are action packed and you get an awful lot done during meetings. Your agendas are always full, and you're when one fair stops, you're automatically talking about the next one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Have your critique and what you did wrong, what you need to change, and then start in on that goal.
Well, that's why that.
So I think once a month is. I just wanted you to have that option, right now is the time to change it. If you had any, if your board had any.
I think going, yeah.
Yeah, we have to. I can't imagine it getting like less work.
I couldn't either.
Nope, it's only ramping up.
It doesn't seem to be.
Thank you very much for the tour yesterday. I know Commissioner Fowler took the tour and he was quite impressed. I am. It looks, the whole fairgrounds looks like a construction zone. I love it.
Yeah,
it does.
I really like that.
It does.
The whole
Something's happening.
I went to Forestry the other day and I see that they paved that the strip going all the way to the back. I thought, well, now there's a good start.
Right, the bus lane, so to speak.
I loved it being on the front page as well.
I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was good. And I think it's moving along. It's moving along very well.
It's exciting.
I'm happy with it. And we talked yesterday a little bit about if there's any, like across the street, there's that little building with the barn doors on it. Mm-hmm. If we can take some of that, if we have batting left over or boards that we could rip into batting, you can take some of the T111 buildings and put the bats on so it looks consistent.
Make it similar.
Make it look consistent. Like if that's going to be a theme and you have some of that batting left over, some boards you can rip into batting, then do that. Just apply it, even if it's on one side.
Right.
The side facing the midway, and then when you're spraying, just go spray the front of that building too. And I think if you start a theme, I think that'll work out well. The board and bat is a barn theme,
right.
Which is agriculture, which is fairgrounds. That's a fairgrounds
feel.
It's good. Yeah, it's gonna look good.
Excellent.
Well, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
I'm glad we picked tan for the roof. I can't imagine a white roof up there look like snow.
It's snowing.
August? Thank
you. When's the operation?
April 7th.
Ooh. That's my daughter's birthday. I'll remember. I'll think about you on my daughter's birthday. How's that sound?
I'll think about me too.
Interesting. All right, thanks. See ya. All right, let's go back to item 3.
Just to make it easy, I want to hand that to the Minute Gal.
Right.
Are you the Minute Gal?
That's what I'm going to talk about. So I thought there's just a potpourri of topics that I would like to. And the other thing is, I wouldn't mind giving my 2 cents on the Fair Board also.
Oh.
I do have some ideas.
Please. Now's the time.
You want to hear that now? I've got I would caution against giving the too much leash to the Fair Board, because there has been a history of them becoming almost quasi county or semi autonomous, where they had their own tax ID, had their own insurance policies, they were acting as if they were not part of the county.
Right.
And yet, when you look at it, if they get sued, for example, someone gets hurt in the arena, or gets the Fair Board does not get sued,
the county gets sued. Yeah.
So there's a little bit of
isn't there some bonding and stuff that goes with their Fair Board?
I believe so.
All their members have to be bonded for $100,000 or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so there's some difference there too.
The Fair Board still has a wide net when it happens.
Yeah.
I think the cooperation is there. I think this board is completely different than doesn't have the animosity or the conflict that we had in years gone by. So
I think,
I'm not trying to interrupt any of that. But
maybe in the past the Fair Board felt threatened. The board was getting ready at any minute to just close that down. And
they did.
go, wait, no, well, you can't close us down. We're our own entity.
Back in the day, I mean,
where the angst came from.
That's where some of that highlighting came from.
Even prior to that, you had, Westfall and some of those that were just, they were anti-county.
Do we insert that language, more language in this set of bylaws that the BCC, more things come to the BCC? They can have their own thing, but reminders throughout the whole thing that you're
still.
Well,
what we have is a two-prong. They've got their bylaws that govern the Fair Board itself, and that is, that direction is given in the ORS, as you mentioned. I think in the opening paragraph it wouldn't hurt to say something to the
effect defined
by the ORS.
Right.
But the second prong is the county MOU.
That's what I was going to wonder. If there's an MOU.
Yes, we have an MOU.
We can put all that. That doesn't cloud the bylaws.
Right.
But when it comes down, when the rubber meets the road, you refer to the MOU and say, no, this is what we agreed on between the two entities.
Right. So okay. there's an MOU that also governs who does what and how the relationship works.
Then that's where we need to address it.
I think it would be, you'd do well to consider okay. both of those.
You write that down? Chairman?
I am.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, and I
so is Annette.
To have a nice, nice big file of all kinds of ORSs and MOUs and...
You have a file of it?
On the fairground, yes, I do.
You can't retire.
So it's...
you can't take it with you either.
It's a...
And you're here, you thought you were going to start your favorite novel. I don't think so.
But the, like I'm saying, you know, Linda and Tamara, I mean, they're wonderful. And the whole board.
The makeup of the board now.
I mean, it's really a great board. And I don't want to hinder that, but I do want to caution that we don't always have the same commissioners. We don't always have the same board. And we need to make sure that they can't go sideways.
Well, right now, I think they feel excited and not threatened.
Right, we're correct.
Right.
No, I think it's great the way what's happening.
Well, they're not hanging
now.
Out by the edge wondering if tomorrow's coming.
But I think we have to realize, too, that there's differences of interpretations as to how much autonomy the ORS gives to the Fair Board. My particular interpretation says the ORS says if there is a fair, then there is a fair board. So the whole fair board concept hinges on if there is a fair, not an event center, not an activity center, but I think there's a little, and I don't
it's
need
not an activity board, it's a fair board.
Well, but it's a fairgrounds board, or is it a fair board?
If there is a county fair, then there is a fair board. I mean, so I think the MOU clarifies a lot of those questions. I just would say, let's look at the whole thing, get legal involved, let's look at what our relationship is and how we want to preserve that. And hopefully preserve the good relationship we have right now.
It sounds like you're volunteering. If you want to walk this over to legal,
certainly walk it over.
I would like, and I don't know how it works out, growing season wise. But up in Canyonville, they have their annual pumpkin festival. Have you ever been to that?
No, in Canyonville, no.
I mean, these pumpkins, they bring them in. That you've got to unload them with a crane, and they're huge.
Forklift or crane.
They're this big around and whatnot. And one of the pumpkin winners was over in the car show. I was there for a car show. I said, I got to ask, what is the purpose of growing the world's biggest pumpkin? And he says, it's the seeds. He says, you don't have any seeds in that pumpkin?
I like said, a stallion?
Not a clue. And he said, those seeds can be sold for like $1 a piece for these super hybrid seeds. I said, you're out of your ever-loving mind. He goes, And this pumpkin is...
How many thousands?
Can't imagine that.
Exactly, but I didn't know agriculturally if the growing season was right to have maybe a pumpkin contest at our fair. Because it was, when they... drug these pumpkins out, everybody went, what?
Yep,
I think Tamara is more than excited. Of course, she's got her hands full right now, but more than excited to bring new events.
Oh,
Oktoberfest.
Some of the events they're going to have this year, it's going to be epic. I'll talk to her about it. It was really, it was kind of neat to see that.
I love the theme, you know, you're saying the agricultural theme or the barn theme.
Yeah.
I remember looking at a fair down in California where they had kind of a Swiss or a Scandinavian theme on their midway. You know, they didn't leave everybody to build their own style. They had a nice consistent and it's just gorgeous. So
we're kind of looking like a mobile home park out there. Everybody's got their own idea. Thing.
That is not a reflection of our county.
Double wide, single wide, you know, shutters, no shutters. Carport, no carport.
So I think
we need to standardize that as we're building.
Yeah,
it's great. Yeah,
like a connection or somewhere.
The fair is moving in the right direction. The fairgrounds, fair board.
A lot of excitement.
I think it's great.
There.
I think it's great.
A lot of excitement out there.
Well, you've used up quite a bit of your time talking about the fair.
Sorry about that.
But I appreciate your input.
This is just, I'm just presenting issues. There's no major decisions that need to be made today, but I just wanted to bring you up to date on what's happening. So the first thing is Food and Friends. We're required to hold a public hearing in order to close out the CDBG grant for the Food and Friends building. So I scheduled
Do they have a balance at all, or is he?
No, no. I mean, they extended that. They extended that contract and the money they got from Business Oregon. The CDBG grant is through Business Oregon.
And so that's all used up.
Yeah, it's all used up.
So we can close that point. Our only obligation is that grant.
Is the CDBG. That's correct.
That grant.
Correct.
Okay, so we can close that off even if they're done. But they're done now, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they're.
But we're not assuming any debt that they incurred over and above the grant.
Nope, not at all. Where our obligation began and ended with the CDBG, and that's all tied out. One of the closeout requirements is a public hearing to get comments from the public on the benefit of the project and how good the government is to do such things. So I've made arrangements for Michael Cavallaro and or Peter Town, the grant administrator there, to give a short presentation. I told 5 minutes, 10 minutes, PowerPoint, pictures of the project, and then be available to answer any questions. So that I tentatively scheduled for a weekly business session on March 18th. Okay. So hopefully that'll work out.
Sounds good.
We'll publish that in the local newspaper. One other activity we're also required to conduct is a fair housing activity in order to close out the grant. The last time we did that was 2014 with the housing improvement CDBG grant money we got. And we adopted a fair housing resolution. The board adopted a fair housing resolution. So this time around, the suggestion is to adopt a fair housing resolution, subsidized housing resolution that the county supports in government-assisted housing as a source of affordable, safe, and sanitary housing opportunities. So that's a template that the CDBG folks give us as one thing that can satisfy the
requirement.
The requirement to conduct a housing activity. It's fairly, this is the easiest one to do. The other things we can do here's a list of fair housing activities: develop and adopt a comprehensive fair housing action plan, conduct an analysis of impediments to fair housing, undertake a review of existing ordinances, zonings, and support and participate in an educational program coordinated with local realtors, home builders. So you can see that they want this much, but one of the things that will satisfy the CDBG's folks' federal requirement need is to adopt a resolution. So
that doesn't obligate us to pony up money.
No.
It's acknowledging what's already happening.
It's basically Park Street.
Yeah. My reservation, my reservation about this is the same as the reservation I have about everything that the government gets involved in. None of that's building houses. You've got 1,500 people going to put together this big, huge document on how to build affordable housing for people.
Yeah.
And then, but they didn't put up a stick.
They didn't build anything.
All the money goes to these big layers of government, so we can all sit around and talk about it, pat each other on the back, and exchange business cards. And meanwhile, we don't have affordable housing.
Well, and they subsidize rents for those that are in peril of losing their housing.
But where does the money come from? While they're dinking around with it up here, there isn't enough money left over to actually do the job of subsidizing rents for somebody that's
preaching to the choir, my friend.
Yeah.
So. Yep, I'm with you, and I articulate that at our housing
meetings. We've always been on the same page with that. It's got to continue to be said, or
it changes,
or it just dies.
Yeah.
So we've got our binoculars on.
So this one, basically, the salient point says, now therefore be it resolved, policy of the county to encourage government-assisted housing as a source of affordable, safe, sanitary housing opportunities for persons of lower, middle, and fixed incomes.
So what I've done, presumptuously, I suppose, is I sent this to legal and said, could you put this in Josephine County format?
Right.
So that's one activity that we can do that's fairly innocuous. Not
right. Doesn't take a lot of staff time.
Right.
Doesn't take any money.
And doesn't require us to do any kind of studies or
right.
develop,
rather,
you know.
Rather than yay or nay, put it as yes or no.
Yeah. That could be about the size of it. We could do host and invite a Fair Housing Council of Oregon to have discussions with group leaders and rental property owners and MAMPs. So I think this is the most straightforward to help the county and establish that program. And close out the grant.
Sounds good.
Okay.
The next piece is the finance system request for qualifications. We closed that request. We published it in the newspaper, you know, advertisement, competitive bidding. We got four responses, four vendors who would like to provide us with a new finance system, cashiering system, human resource system, payroll system. So the whole package. We will.
Are all those systems at the end of their useful life?
That's all Springbrook. That's all our current Springbrook system.
Okay.
And so we're replacing that with although Springbrook is one of the four vendors that submitted a proposal on this, and we'll give them a fair and equitable shot.
They got a shot at it.
Tyler Tech is the other one. That's the one that Grants Pass brought on board two, three years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Tech is also the one that's doing our new tax and assessment system downstairs. So, you know, that's a good one. The other one, Central Square, is a good player. They've been around for a while, and they've got a good product. So we'll see. The other one was ADP. ADP submitted a bid. Theirs is kind of a hobble together. They're using Microsoft this and, you know, ADP that and trying to cobble together.
Get into that, though. There's too many players that can change hands.
Yeah,
I'd rather
right.
all be under
the
one
future
roof.
Mains, yeah.
And Tyler's the big one. Springbrook has flip-flopped back and forth over the last several years with different purchasers and being sold and bought. But we'll give them a good due consideration.
If you can, check with the city and see. How long has the city had it? A year?
No, it's been two, maybe 3 years.
Well, then they should have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
An
I've
opinion.
Talked to Jay.
Okay, yeah, see what the opinion is.
He likes it. I mean, he likes Tyler. It's a good system. Their implementation was a little rocky, but, you know, bringing it on board.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they have utilities also. We don't have utilities, and that's a big module.
Yeah, okay.
We hope once we go through with the demonstrations, which will be the week of March 9th, we'll figure out our top candidate. We got people participating from all the different departments that are involved with either cashiering or finance or printing reports. So we've got a great system of people that are part of that. Then we'll enter into discussions with the vendor regarding their implementation schedule, get a cost proposal from them, and then we'll hope to bring that back to the board.
Did I hear you say that we have two departments that are on that already?
No, there's many departments. We have probably six, maybe seven different subgroups that are looking at, like, the cash receipting module. We've got a subgroup for the payroll module, one for the financial reporting module, and we've got people from Public Works and the different departments that are interested.
Gotcha.
Audits. So I'm asking Moss Adams, our auditor, to give a short presentation to the board at the weekly business session about the audit that was finished June 30th and also the jail levy audit. So, make it a public presentation. And I scheduled that for March 25th. Weekly business session, March 25th.
Gotcha.
So again, another 5-10 minute, you know, just bring pictures and explain the audit and how wonderful the finance department is and how we do a great job.
And you had something for the 18th?
Yes, that's the Food and Friends presentation.
Okay, well, I may not be here the 18th.
Okay.
I may have something
okay.
pressing.
Yeah, this is stuff that you have all heard before, but yeah. It's you know, to present it to the public and
right.
Yeah.
To close it off.
I don't think I say right.
The audit contract, Moss Adams, we've had them for 3 years already, and so the contract itself, when we originally bid out the contract 3 years ago, has a 3-year extension. I mean, it's an option to have a 3-year right. extension. I like them. Sandy likes them. I think they're doing a great job. They're keeping us on our toes. They're looking at stuff and keeping us up to date with all the newest, latest, and greatest. So I'm thinking we should go ahead and extend for another 3 years. You know, just give them the contract.
That's your recommendation.
That's my recommendation. Right. So yeah. Do you folks have any?
I would.
Are you happy with them?
Consider with the shift of gears we're going to have in June.
Mm-hmm.
I think. That Moss Adams, I would be in favor of extending sense. Because they know our system.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Going forward with the new people taking over.
Right. Fresh leadership.
Yeah.
With fresh leadership, I think that continuity would be very important.
I think it is too. Okay. I think that's exactly right. So, okay.
Well, and I was back to you. Fully entertained by them. They did a presentation at an economic summit in Medford about the new corporate activity tax. And they sat up there and, in between crying and laughing, tried to present the facts around that because it doesn't make sense to them. And they have huge, monumental questions of how to go forward, and it's already law.
Oh, yeah.
It's already happening this year. And they're like, we don't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, pass it first, and then you can read it later.
Yeah, then we'll try and figure it out.
It's the same thing with the PERS Senate Bill 1049. It was just pass it now, we'll figure it out later.
It's not the way to do business. Anywho.
Okay, audit contract. A Street Building. A couple weeks ago, I think we talked about the Dimmick campus and the old hospital building. So I have contacted Business Oregon, Karen Homilak, and she's in charge of the Brownfields money. To help with remediating, you know, toxic Superfund cleanup. So she's pursuing that. It looks like there will be money available. Maybe not enough for 100% of the job, but every little bit helps.
We used Brownfield on the, you guys used on Brownfield the, on the original
on the tower.
Hospital.
Yes.
Yeah. On the tower.
Yep.
Okay. But, and they could only pursue some of the contamination so far because it went under
the building.
The building that still exists. And so they already know some of the concerns because they were involved. I was actually on a tour yesterday with MARTA.
Oh, okay.
Southern Oregon, Business Oregon Rep.
Okay.
And she had been there before.
Did you take a tour of the old building?
Did yesterday, yeah.
Did you have to wear a mask?
Well, I did have, yes, and I'm glad I did, because even after an hour of walking around, I was ready to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel it.
Yeah, it's
bad. I'd like to go up there. I was born there. I think I requested a tour, but I didn't get the memo, so.
Yeah.
Well, and we didn't want to make it a public meeting, so you have to get a different tour than mine.
I'm golden with that.
Yep.
I can always go up there myself. I can go up there after hours if you want.
That's right.
Yeah, go up in the dark, get a flashlight.
Join the other transients. There's probably half a dozen people living there, so you...
Some of the big rats scatter.
Remember me? Yeah, I do.
No, it was very, very interesting, and I can't believe how long it stood there and done nothing. We should have.
We abandoned it back in 2006. No, mental health still had it in 2006 when we transferred. And actually, they stayed in there for about 7-8 months after we transferred them or privatized over to options. So it was probably early 2007 when mental health left, and it's been empty ever since.
Yeah.
It
just gets more expensive to get rid of.
If we didn't take care of the tower, we certainly didn't take care of that.
No,
right.
No.
You know, the tower probably, if the county would have been in a little bit different situation, a lot better situation, that tower would still be there if we could have done something with the roof and protected what's inside. Yeah. That it could have been, you know, a veterans.
Something.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, place to stay or whatever, I don't know. But we didn't have it, so that's water under the bridge.
But yeah, it's got to come down before we can get any of our money back off that property.
I think so.
It was interesting and risky. That's my guy. Can I talk to you? I said, sure, Sharonda. He said, I haven't heard the term lithium bromide in 30 years. you know about lithium bromide? I said, yeah, I've worked on that plant up there a couple of times. And so we had great discussion about engineering. He was a stationary engineer one time.
But yeah, those chillers are of an amazing scale.
What's that?
The whole system up there, the chillers and stuff, is of an amazing scale.
Oh, yeah.
It's this room.
But it's typical of a government building. It doesn't matter what it costs as long as it's state of the art. And that bromide plant was at the time. It's an absorption system is what it is. And they use those on huge centrifugals and absorption stuff is used on huge, huge things. We toured a May company down in San Diego one time, and they have a plant that services a mall 0.9 miles that way and 0.9 miles that way on one of the busiest boulevards. It's Macy's in San Diego. And one plant takes care of all that for heating and air conditioning. It's
interesting.
Amazing.
Through the pipes.
Yes, it's a whole pipe system, but you rent a stall, and they just plug into the pipes for hot and cold water, and you're heated and cooled. They don't have to put a unit on the roof or ductwork or anything. It's already, plug it in. It's it's pretty neat deal, and then you pay Macy's a utility fee.
Right, they're the provider.
Well, absolutely.
Two quick things, we'll wrap it up. Annual budget process, so we're distributing the work papers this week, and so the board... should be anticipating getting meetings with all the department heads over the next 3 weeks regarding their budgets and what they plan to do this coming year.
Come to that for me, thank you.
Then the budget committee, we have advertised for the 1 year
fill-in
position.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage the board to contact people that you may know that would be interested in applying for that position so that we can get some good...
probably two, maybe three meetings.
Correct, yes, probably three meetings. Right now, all on Tuesdays, but the budget committee themselves
we
can change
the
it to... you guys can go, hey, we're meeting on Tuesday, let's meet on Thursday this same week and Tuesday the next week, and we'll have our three meetings and we'll be done. Or you could say, no, we need four meetings because I want to hear from... So it's the first meeting we settle because we advertise it in the newspaper and we, public notice. But from then on out, it's really up to the budget committee to
And it's 24-hour notice, right?
Yeah, typically. Okay. Yeah.
We don't have to week or anything.
Just the same as any other regularly scheduled meeting for the board. So you can set your next meetings at each subsequent meeting. Get somebody on board there. That would be great, and that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Thank you.
Oh, no, you leave us speechless.
Oh, man. Me too.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Okay, looking back at our agenda, only leaves us with other business and matters from commissioners. Is there anything we...
No,
should address as a board?
No, under other business.
Right, so matters?
No, not at this time. Okay. I've got a lot of things on my mind, but not for today.
Gotcha. And, we just had a meeting yesterday where we shared, so I don't have anything new to share today. But thanks for the push on the budget committee member. And with that, let's end this meeting at 9:59.